Good morning. And greetings in the precious name of the one who wants to show himself in you and through you and with you this morning. We've been very blessed this week. And I guess I kind of tend to struggle sometimes knowing what more can I say, what poor me have to share with the rest of you that hasn't already been said or touched on. So I'm going to just share something I've actually shared before elsewhere. There may be a few of you here. Just bear with me on that. How many of you ever feel like you're the wrong person at the wrong place at the wrong time? Have you ever felt like that? Like the wrong person at the wrong place at the wrong time? Do you ever think, I could be so much better a person and achieve so much more if only the people around me would be more conducive to it? You know, I could make headway in my life and be much more of a blessing in God's kingdom if only my circumstances were more ideal. Have you ever wondered if my parents would be different, more caring, more understanding of me and my struggles? If my family were closer and a help to me rather than the hindrance that they at times pose? You know, couldn't I be the person I ought to be so much more easily? I don't have the exact quote here, but it makes me think of something Otto Koning said at one time. He said, I could have been a very good missionary if it would not have been for the people that I was sent to. Very true, isn't it? The people around me that I need to associate with, these circumstances that I've been placed into, just do not allow me to function and be the person that I really know God wants me to be at times. I view them as the limiting factor in my walk, in my life, and in my work. Now follow me carefully. I'm not saying that God is to blame for the wrong choices that I or others make that bring negative things into my life. At the same time, God, being God, could overrule and just allow those things in my life that would make me most, in my mind, useful, right? Isn't God big enough to keep negative things from coming into my life, from coming into your life? So why? That's a question sometimes I hear a lot. Why? Why does he let me to go through things where I have so much potential to respond wrongly? Wherever there is the most potential for ruin, there also lies the greatest potential for growth and maturing. We in our culture know very little of bearing with unpleasantness. If I don't like a certain food, I don't eat it. If a job doesn't suit me, I get another one. If we have an unpleasant boss, we fire him. If we don't like our surroundings, we change them. Therefore, as Christians, when God brings things into my life that I consider unpleasant, things that are not nice, I face the temptation of checking all the escape routes. There's a door. I'll just see you. You know, I would be a super employee if it was not for that employer. I'd be a wonderful neighbor if my neighbor wasn't the way he or she is. You know, I'd be a better and more patient dad if my children weren't so unreasonable. Or maybe in my case, didn't talk so much at times. You know, I'd be an awesome son or daughter if my dad just really understood me. If mom just knew where I was coming from when I tried to share my heart. I'd have a good relationship with my church leaders if they'd only be different. If they'd be more understanding of me, if they wouldn't be so set in their ways and thoughts, I'd support and be a builder in church. If if only the life of my brothers and sisters would be more Christ-like. And they were more what they ought to be first. You know, I'd be a good Christian this morning if only my fleshly desires weren't so strong. If the circumstances I faced weren't so insurmountable. Now, that said, I'd like for somebody to quote Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to me. Can anyone do that for me? Thank you. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Is that really true this morning in 2015? There's a qualifying phrase in that verse. To them that love God. And we have to be in that qualified group or the rest of it will not hold true. Now, if you're in that qualified group, do you believe it? Not in saying I believe. Probably about everyone here would say that. But do I believe it in the way my life is lived? In the way I respond to those less than ideal things that come into my life? In the way that I relate to less than ideal people? Do you really believe this morning that God has put you in the best place? With the best people? At the best time? In the best position? To make what best serves His kingdom and your own spiritual well-being? Also, if that verse is true, could you please explain these to me? Kenley, a little girl about exactly the age of my daughter, oldest daughter. This is a few years ago. She was found to have cancerous tumors in her kidneys. An innocent child. Grandparents and parents that were seeking to serve the Lord in their circumstances. Or how about this one? My cousin, 8 years older than I am. She was diagnosed with cancer about 3.5 years ago. She and her husband had 5 children from the ages of 8 to 1. She passed away this past summer. They were very conscientious people seeking to serve God. And from our perspective, she was so needed. How do you explain that? Or how about a young man that I know very well? He was born into a home where he really was not wanted. His father had serious anger problems in his life. His family could go to church Sunday and look like a normal family, but at home, it was not the family like God wanted to see. He didn't really have anybody that was close to him, and as he grew older, he struggled with things many normal young men struggle with. At the same time, he had nowhere to go, nowhere to turn to, or at least he thought so. And his life began to spiral downward into sin. Or how about 100, exactly 100 miles south of here, there's a family, I don't know them real well, Tim Stolzfus' family, but last summer, a 14-year-old son was killed in basically what amounts to a freak accident. Again, what I do know of them, I appreciate the family, a godly family, a family seeking to live their lives for God. Couldn't God have prevented that accident? What about this one? Please follow me. In a large, important city was a small, very unimportant house where a poor man and his wife lived. One day, this poor man and his wife received the gift. They received the gift of a son. Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 9. I'm not going to be reading these verses, but I'd like for you to have your Bibles open. Double check me, make sure I'm telling you correctly. John chapter 9. This poor man and his wife did not have this gift very long till they realized that there was something wrong. They did all they could for their son, yet there was not really much anyone could do for their son. He was born blind. Now, I need you to understand the culture of this large city, or you won't really understand the rest. The people in this country and especially in this city, believed that all suffering was punishment for some sin. So when you had a child that was born blind, somewhere, somehow, somebody involved had sinned. They also taught that since life began at conception, a correct concept, it was actually possible to sin before you were born. I don't quite know how that was supposed to work, but that's actually what they were teaching in this circle. Now, this was a very convenient teaching for the healthy and the fit. Because if anyone questioned their righteousness or rightness, they could always say, I'm healthy, therefore I am a good person. I wasn't born blind, therefore I'm on the right road. My parents were good people, and I have Moses for my father. That's the environment that this family was. Years went by. The baby that was born blind grew up to be a blind man. And all the while, he and his parents lived under the cloud of having sinned. As time progressed, one day, in this large city, there was a new subject of conversation. Some fellow was teaching kind of new things. Things that people hadn't really heard before. But he didn't stop with that. He was actually healing people. Now, I want you to follow this. If all suffering and sickness were the result of sin, what business did this man have healing people? After all, they had brought it upon themselves. And he didn't even stop at healing people. He would actually heal them on this sacred Sabbath day. One day we have this blind man doing what blind men did in his setting, most likely begging. We have this new teacher and his disciples come by. Now, this new teacher, while he was teaching new things, his disciples had grown up in this country, maybe some even in this city of prejudging. They saw an excellent opportunity to ask their teacher a question. And in their narrow-mindedness, they had narrowed down the possible reasons for this man's blindness to two reasons. So they say, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I'm going to be switching to the first person here, so I want you, if you have any imagination at all, put yourself into the place of that blind man. Can you imagine having heard that question probably all your life? Who sinned? You or your parents? Can't you just imagine his heart dropping? Here he thought was maybe something fresh. Maybe something to take the focus off of me and what I don't even know. A question I can't even answer. Yet, here comes the teacher and his disciples are asking the same question. But then also, as you put yourself in that blind man's place, can you imagine how his heart might have sprung with new hope as he heard the teacher's response? Neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. What hope? Yet what? You mean this came upon me for no other reason than that God wanted to show himself and him, his work in me? I spent these 20, 30 years in blindness. To what purpose? If God wanted to do something, if God wanted to work in me, I sure wish he would get on with it. My whole life up till now, basically wasted, right? Well, he didn't have long to think. Wait, what's happening now? I hear someone walk up. I hear someone spit on the ground. I hear someone bend over and doing something on the ground. What could be happening? I hear the person stand up. I hear the person reach toward my face. Will he open my eyes? I've heard that it happens. Whatever! He's smearing mud on my face, on my eyes. Of all the indignities I've suffered, I've never had this happen to me before. But through it all, there's one phrase I can't get out of my mind. that the works of God should be made manifest in him. After he's done smearing the mud on my face, he says, go. Go, he says, and wash in the pool of Siloam. Well, that's at least a good idea, right? My face is all muddy. What else do I have to do? I might as well go wash it off. Maybe. Does God have a plan for me in the circumstances I'm in? Does God have a purpose for my blindness? So I go. And as I go, this phrase, that the works of God should be made manifest in him, keeps going through my mind. What happens as I wash off the mud? For the first time, light floods into my eyes. I can see. I was born blind. I lived as a blind man. I had to bear the indignities and questions of who sinned. I had to have mud smeared all over my face. All this, so that God could show his work in me. You know, as I joyfully go my way, the past sufferings forgotten, in the newfound joy of sight, a sensation spreads through the crowd around me. Who is this man? Well, he looks like the man that was born blind, but he evidently can see. That's not possible. Well, next thing you know, they're really questioning whether I am who I am. And that's one thing I know. I am he. Well, then how do you now see? We could go through all the story there, but we won't. It's a long story. But basically, I go from being a despised and pitied blind man to being a rejected and condemned seeing man. I'm confused. What is God's plan? What was it the man who healed me said? That the works of God should be made manifest in him. How could this be God's work? I go my way uncertainly. What a day! Happy that I can now see, but confused, pained, that others seem angered by my healing. I don't know where to turn or what to do. Then I meet a man. The voice is familiar, but the face, that face is different from any face I've seen today. There's peace in that face. There's love in that face. There's acceptance in that face. And he asks me a question. This man asked me a question. Do you believe in the Son of God? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? You have seen him, and it is he who is talking to you. Notice the man's response. Lord, I believe, and I fall down, and I worship him, the God who sent me into the world blind, so that he could be shown in me. Lord, it still doesn't make sense to me, but I believe. I allow you to be bigger than what I am. I accept your ways. Ways that are higher than my ways. And thoughts that go far beyond any thoughts that I'm capable of. I'm going to share some practical areas. I don't want you to feel singled out. At the same time, I want you to put yourself in the place of this man. You know, I don't understand why. Why, God? Why would you allow me to be born into a home where I was not wanted? I cannot comprehend why you left me as a young child, be under evil influences and sinful situations that I had nothing to do with. How could it be in your plan that my innocence as a child would be ruined by another's selfishness and I have to live with scars for the rest of my life? You know, God, I'm bewildered by how you put me in a home where dad and mom don't get along and home life is a living nightmare. I have such a struggle in my life because dad or mom or both do not seek after you. Yet somehow I'm supposed to sort through all this and follow you. I don't see how having a parent or spouse I care for so much, how does that glorify you for them to go through suffering of cancer or some other disease? Lord, I'm broken with sorrow. How could you let someone that I needed and cherished so much die and I have to go on alone? I cannot comprehend why the relationship that I had so many hopes built on and so many dreams could end in such shattered ruins. You know, God, I'm confused as to why some of my friends can have homes of their own, yet I have to go on year after lonely year, all alone. I'm discouraged by the health issues I face. Why do I have to be the one that struggles with poor health? How can it be that others are so successful in life, in business, yet everything I try just breaks around me? You know, God, I can't understand why you would call me to fill a place in church life that I have so little talent for and feel so extremely unqualified to fill. God, I cannot comprehend why you allow those who claim to be your children and who are to be my spiritual leaders, how can you allow them to bite and devour each other? I can't seem to grasp how the people and the church I love so much can splinter and fragment around me. Why? Could it be that the potter is wiser than the clay? Is God allowed to have a plan and a purpose that I don't comprehend? I cannot see why, and I may not comprehend the plan. But I can say, Lord, I believe. I can fall down before you and worship you. And I can do this not because I see, but because I serve a God who gives sight. Not because I comprehend, but because your ways are higher than my ways and your thoughts than my thoughts. Not because it's my plan, but because it is your will, Father. Not because it's easy, but because your only Son showed me how to trust in you. Not because it makes sense to me, but because my will is lost in your will and in your way. You have sent me to wash so that others might see you and your work shown in and through me in what is your perfect plan for me. Can I say, Lord, make me a vessel that you can use, sanctified and prepared for your purpose. Help me lose my will and my way in you. Can I say, as I kneel in my Gethsemane's, not my will, Father, but thine be done, in me, through me, and with me. You are with me through the valley. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You lead me in green pastures and beside still waters as I yield my all, my everything to you and your control. You and you alone can restore my soul and keep me in the paths of righteousness. My cup runs over with goodness, not because of my circumstances or the things I face, but because you are with me, guiding me each step of the way. True goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life as I dwell in your house forever. What do you think of Kenley again? Kenley went through surgery. She went through a lot of treatments as her caring parents and grandparents stood helplessly by and watched her suffer. totally unable to do anything more than small acts of love in the suffering and in the disease she was experiencing. As they watched, as they waited, as they prayed, and they asked why, one verse came to their minds: that the works of God might be shown in me in the things that I face. That the works of God should be made manifest in me. Are the works of God made manifest in me? Does my life, in the things that do not make sense to me, in the things I question, in the things I ask why about, does it show the work of God? Do I really believe that God has put me in the best place, with the best people, at the best time, in the best position, with the best circumstances, to make me what best serves his kingdom and my own spiritual well-being? Remember, wherever there is most potential for ruin, there also is the greatest potential for growth and maturing. May God show himself in me, through me, and with me. Does my life show the works of God? May God bless you.